Welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews. I am your host, Chris Lukianenko, and I scour this big brand land of ours, looking under fermenters and behind mash tuns to find the best beer stories to share with you. The Beer Healer Interviews is now available on all major podcast services. If you like the show and want to help out, can I ask you to simply rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast service? Just leave a few words and a rating and the podcast gods will do the rest. By doing this, you'll help others to discover the show more easily and hopefully get more people interested in this great industry that we call craft beer. Well, welcome back, and like many of you, I'm working from home this week during these crazy times trying to juggle work and children, so I'm using my lunch hours to put my skills to good use, if you like, ignoring the children for half an hour while I jump on and do a little bit of podcasting. And joining me today on the line is Dan Norris, one third of the team from Black Ops. And I've asked him to jump on and have a bit of a chat about looking towards the future. There is so much doom and gloom right now going on in the world. We need to not lose sight of the fact that at some stage, whenever that may be, things will clear and then we'll get back to something like normal life, whatever the new normal may look like. And so I want to talk to Dan about how Black Ops might be preparing for that and what sort of things they're talking about and considering right now to set themselves up for what will hopefully be a fast start once things get back to that new normal. So welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews, Dan Norris.
Thanks for having me, mate. This should be fun.
Pleasure, mate. Pleasure. As I said, you know, things are going pretty crazy right now. I know personally this morning we had a phone call for my 200 strong employees at a global software company, and we've all been asked to work 4 days a week. So I know we're doing it tough in the beer industry right now, but just wanted to say to everybody who is having a tough time out there, I'm with you. I completely understand that things are struggling, but absolutely you are not alone. It seems like everybody is really doing it tough, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a couple of business. I've got entrepreneurs in lots of different fields, and I've got some that are doing well, but it's pretty rare. Most of them have either had their business kind of wiped to zero or close to zero, and they're trying to scramble to get that back to something other than zero, or they've just been hit with something completely unexpected and it's wiped out a big chunk of their business, which is the situation we're in. And I'd say every brewery in the country is in that situation, if not worse.
Yeah. So, mate, how are things going for you guys at Black Ops, at Melrose Place, I like to call you, the original site?
Well, it's been a weird couple of weeks. I mean, when it first sort of started to happen, we shut the tap rooms down and, you know, it wasn't very enjoyable. We sort of did it a bit before we had to do it because our tap rooms are just not, like especially the one at Burley, it's just not really possible to do social distancing at that tap room. It's like 40, 50 square meters. It's just
pretty tight.
So we got prepared for just doing takeaways. We launched an online delivery service called Supply Drop. We're doing a whole bunch of other things that we weren't planning on doing, and we've paused a whole bunch of projects that we were planning on doing. So far, we've been able to give casuals kind of one shift a week. Haven't had to get rid of them completely, but that's not sustainable. We don't have the tap rooms open, so we're not going to be able to sustain that. But full time staff, we haven't had to get rid of any so far. We've been able to redeploy them in different areas. So
that's good. Yeah,
I'm just hoping to get through this without having to get rid of our staff and put them through hell and come out the other side and have a business and a brand that's still strong and have a team that is ready to get back to doing what we were doing before.
And mate, the reason why I contacted you was, you know, I saw your post on one of the socials just sort of talking about that you had some experience in, you know, online sales and WordPress and that sort of thing, and you're offering help to other brewers out there who are madly scrambling to try and get their online offering, whether that be to, you know, sell via Australia Post deliveries or whether to, you know, sort out taking orders for pickups and all that sort of thing. But what has the response been from brewers to your offer of help?
I've chatted to a couple of them. I think everyone's sort of in a different position. A lot of the kind of the newer breweries had a pretty good online presence anyway. And with a lot of the technologies now, it's not that hard to create a basic online store. I've had a couple who weren't really prepared for it that I've been sort of giving some advice on and helping them set up a store or fix the store that they've got. In our case, we use WordPress and that's my background. So I'm able to do most of that myself. I've been able to do basically all of our stuff myself, and where I couldn't, I've got a developer to do a little bit. But some other guys are using Shopify. That's probably a little bit easier. People are using that and tend to be able to do almost all of it themselves, even if they're not, you know, you're not sort of sitting there writing code. So it's a lot more user-friendly.
Yeah.
But everyone seems to be doing pretty well. I think the ones that were heavy in the online sales before, you know, even more so now, and everyone else seems to be catching up pretty quick.
And so what are you guys doing? Are you using couriers or Australia Post, or are you doing the pickup sort of idea with your biz?
Yeah, we're doing all of that. So we had the online store before where we used Sendal to – Sendal's like a third party that integrates with Couriers Please and a bunch of these other couriers. So they deliver our beer around the country already. We sell beer on Dan Murphy's online. We're selling pickup now from both breweries. We're selling takeaway at the tap rooms. We've built our own delivery service where we use our own drivers. So that's the supply drop service that I mentioned. So for that one, I just found a plugin that I was able to customize to put all of our beers on one like mobile friendly page. So you can just sort of order them, and I wrapped it to turn it into an app, which was submitted to the app stores.
You are clever, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I had a mate of mine who does this for businesses, and he let me use his platform. It's called Good Barber. It's like a white label app development platform, and he gave me like 10 minutes of advice on it, and it's all like drag and drop. It's super easy. So like that kind of technology now makes it so much easier than it used to. I spent a long time ago building an app that was less powerful than this thing we just built in 3 or 4 hours. It's pretty awesome where it's gotten to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for that one, we're using our own drivers because our sales reps kind of have nothing to do now. But
that's bloody genius. I hadn't even thought of that. So you're doing home delivery using your current sales force?
Yeah. So all the sales guys have been – their role has changed from full-time sales to basically part-time sales or delivery or tap room. So we're opening the tap room 7 days a week, so we've got 4 more shifts at the tap room,
in and out,
doing deliveries, and between all of those shifts, we're able to fill up all of the hours for the full-time sales guys.
Oh, that's nice, mate. That's nice. Takes a bit of pressure off things, I suppose, that way. Better, redeploy them into other parts of the business. That's awesome to hear.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't really want to get rid of the people who are responsible for you selling all the gear and build the business on. So that's what we're hoping to do. And then once this is all over, we all go back to normal and. Hopefully, if the service is still going well, we'll figure out a way to keep that going with drivers, and the sales reps can get back to selling beer.
Happy days. Great segue. Let's draw a line in the sand and let's not talk about the C word. let's look to the future. What do you think the business is going to look like they're saying 6 months? We don't know for sure. I know for my company, we're 6 months at 4 days a week, like I mentioned earlier. But, you know, what do you think things are going to look like in terms of the beer landscape in 6 months' time? You got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can't really see a situation where they let sort of all bars and restaurants open as they were before until – either everyone's got this or they've got a vaccine for it, because that's the easiest way for something like this to
spread. It all back up, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe there's going to be a situation where they let restaurants open back up again if they have proper social distancing measures and you know, bars that are also restaurants might be able to do that. It's going to be really hard for venues like our tap room at HQ or like our customers that have bar licenses that don't even sell food. They just have a little room full of people. It's hard for me to imagine those sort of places opening up anytime soon.
Yeah.
But for us, we're lucky that we've got a big chunk of the business selling our canned product into bottle shops. And so, you know, that's what's keeping us alive at the moment. And I think that and direct delivery is going to take off. And, I mean, I'm hoping some of these behaviours will probably stick. I mean, if people are getting used to the idea of getting beer sent to their home and getting food sent to their home. I think some of that will probably stick and some of that will hang around after this is over. But, I mean, the ideal outcome is the economy goes into a boom phase at the end of this and everyone gets their job back and all the entrepreneurs come out and start building businesses again and we go into a big growth phase, which I think is definitely possible.
Hey, mate, I was just thinking just now, like, I always contact you on Instagram, say, oh, where can I get the such and such latest release from down here in Tassie? It's usually pretty hard to find them. But you guys keep up a pretty solid pace of releasing new beers. I'm not sure exactly what the pace is, but what's happened to that now in the last 2 weeks? What have you decided to do in terms of all that sort of stuff? Are you going to keep it? Are you going to cut it down? Are you going to put it all into can? What's the story?
Yeah, we're increasing that stuff a lot. So the last year, I think we did 65 different beers and 52 new ones or something like that. With this no keg situation, like 2 weeks ago when we kind of knew this was coming, we just stopped putting all of our beers into kegs. And yep. Unfortunately, we already had almost 1,000 kegs across distributors in our cold room that are sitting there that we can't do anything with. So
yeah,
unfortunately, we didn't do it 3 months before. We did it 2 weeks.
You have to just write those off, do you?
We don't know yet. We've got a few different ideas of things to do with them. But I would suspect we're not going to be able to keep all of them. It's too much beer for us. It's going to go on for too long. So we're still kind of trying to work through all of that. But with the limiteds, we stop putting them into kegs, which means every batch we get about twice as much in cans. So we had four or five limiteds that were coming out for an event that was supposed to happen on the weekend before they announced the closures, and we'd already shut the tap rooms down by then. So we cancelled that. We put all of those beers into cans, sold them all via sort of daily releases on the Supply Drop app or online or at the tap rooms. And then we ramped up production of all of the limiteds. So every limited release tank was full within a week or two of some kind of crazy beer. So we've got beers coming out every couple of days that are limited release and interesting beers. So they give people a reason to come back in. And so that side of the business is ramped up. I'd actually like to ramp it up more if we can get any of these finance options, which hopefully we will be able to. We're going to look at getting some more small tanks, I think, and just building the early side into a real little sort of pilot facility.
Sounds cool. Sounds cool. It's probably something that's really key at this point in time when, you know, we're going to have this extended period of, you know, not being able to touch base with our consumers, you know, face to face and that sort of thing. It's to remain relevant, remain top of mind. And I guess things like having a rolling, you know, weekly special beer coming out, it's new news to talk about. It's a great way to keep people's minds off what's going on in the world, and it'll help you keep stay top of mind in terms of your consumers. Was that sort of part of your consideration in all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got the ambassador group. I just posted in there yesterday on Facebook, just asked if anyone had any ideas for beers we could brew, and it's already had 150 comments in there
of
people who are giving us ideas. We did a thing last Friday where we called it Bright Friday, and it was when we launched the Supply Drop in Brisbane, and we released a beer that went from the Bright tank delivered directly to people's houses by the end of the day. And then we did a live call on Zoom where we did a Q&A.
Nice.
And yeah, it was awesome. It just gave people who come into the tap room the chance to still see us and talk about the beer and, you know, get excited about something. So every beer we put out, because everyone's on social media at the moment, everyone's sitting at the home scrolling on Instagram and looking on Facebook.
Exactly.
So there's heaps of content and heaps of new beers coming out, makes that a lot more fun for everyone. So yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of that. There's our core range pack into bottle shops will hopefully stay as long as they keep bottle shops open and as long as we can stay open and keep making the beer.
Hey, speaking of, did you see the joke going around this morning? Like, today's April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
The joke going around this morning that bottle shops were shut. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, that
would
be nice.
I, of course, clicked. I forgot it was April Fool's Day.
Well, I got the fixation one where they put up saying that they're sick of IPAs and they want to turn their place into a barrel room. That one got me good.
Hey, just take you back to social media for a second. Before this all happened, did you have a social media strategy, or were you working with a company on your strategy? And has that changed in you know, talking about what you just did, that everybody's now on social media maybe even more?
No, we've never had. I mean, we've only ever had basically me running the accounts, and I've got Leah, who works for me, who does everything in the business, not just social media. She probably does an hour or two of social media a week, and God bless how many hours everything else.
I'm just saying. I've now got a day a week up my sleeves. Just, you know, just keep me in mind.
Well, we've got no money. So
perfect.
Yeah, we used to do it ourselves, and it seems to work pretty well. I mean, sometimes you get burnt out just sitting on reading messages at nighttime all the time, which you get sick of a little bit. So Leah's been taking on some of that, and we've got another casual, Alicia, who does one or two days a week where she'll help out with some of that now as well. So that helped a little bit, but it's basically been me and sometimes a sales rep to get photos for the Instagram story. But that's basically how we do it. We don't have a marketing budget.
No, fair enough. So has this semi downtime given you a bit of a chance, the three of you founders, just a chance to maybe rethink your overall strategy, or do you still think that maybe you just stick with what you got?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just mainly concerned about, like, the last two weeks, I pretty much didn't have a day off. We were just working around the clock trying to work out what we're going to do. And our main concern is just running out of money and going out of business. Like, that's like every single plan we had for 2020, we kind of sat around with the team at the start of March and went through all these projects that we wanted to do in 2020, and it was looking like a really exciting year. And we just shelved all of that, and we just went back to, like, how do we not go out of business, and how do we retain our staff? And that's really all we've thought about. The other stuff, the services and that sort of Bright Friday thing in the supply drop, all of that is all about making sure we've got work for our staff to do, because if we didn't have that, we would be literally having to lay staff off, and these are the best staff you could hope for. So that's really all we've done. We haven't done any strategizing around social media or any planning for the future at all, other than just trying to keep in mind that this will pass, and when it does, it would be nice for us to be able to, you know, make decisions that will help us when this is over, as opposed to just create a bunch of work and trouble for us.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You need to be ready to pounce as soon as things turn back to what will be the new normal.
Yeah, we planned on expanding BH2 with a bunch more tanks and increasing the volume there. We'd just done an investment round. We were planning on another crowdfunding. We were going to expand HQ. We had another brand we were going to launch. We had all this stuff we were going to do, and then it was, okay, well, how much money are we going to be able to get our hands on to A, stay in business, and B, potentially not completely shelve all of these projects, like just keep them there in case we feel like we're financially stable enough to invest in those projects still, and then when we come out the other side, we'll be kind of ready to go and ready to expand again. So I'm just looking at all of these stimulus things that come out and the loans from the Queensland government, and talking to the bank and investors, and just trying to work out what the next 6 months are going to look like, and at what point it would make sense for us to kick some of these projects back in and plan to sort of have them launching towards the end of the year.
Oh, mate, so much stuff to do. Lucky you got time on your hands at home, hey?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do, but it's good. I mean, it's really heartbreaking for the venues who've just basically had to close down completely. We've got investors, and, well, we've got, you know, all of our customers with on-prem venues. We've got investors with on-prem venues, and, you know, no one's prepared for this. And these sort of businesses, the same as ours, they're not the sort of businesses that have a lot of runway. Like, I'm listening to the startup podcast from America, and the guys are kind of saying, yeah, you know, if you've got 3 years worth of cash, that's the position you want to be in right now. And I'm thinking, like, we don't have 3 weeks worth of cash. And it's exactly the same for bars and restaurants. That's just not how these businesses work. They're all so close to the edge. They're not planning for a situation where no one can walk through the front door. So it's really heartbreaking for those guys. And we're in a very, very fortunate position of still having a big chunk of our business that isn't out of business. I mean, it's only about half, but, if it was zero, we'd be done.
It's better than zero, yeah, absolutely. What's the community been like up there on the coast? Everybody banding together or doing their own thing?
For sure. It's been good. We've just in the last 2 days, we've had invites from other breweries to be part of, like, mix packs and things that they're doing to kind of, just keep the craft beer message out there. It's going to be really tough for craft breweries because you're up against competitors that have huge budgets that can, can take all their kegs back. They can get through months and months without revenue. For independent breweries like ours, it's going to be pretty damn tough. There's not, we don't have a single investor who I would describe as an accredited, as a sort of professional investor. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Other than probably Sam, our founding investor.
It's mostly mums and dads sort of thing.
Yeah. Like, it's not like we can't ring up investors and say, give us $500,000 to get through, a month or two of no trading. It's just not an option. So we're, and a lot of other breweries are the same. I'd say most of the breweries that are our size or smaller are the same. So some of the bigger ones might have an investor who can chip in, but for the most part, you know, we don't have these options. So we're kind of sitting around doing our absolute best to create new revenue streams and keep people in jobs, but at the same time, waiting a little bit to work out, you know, whether some of this government stimulus is going to help us, and kind of hoping it does. But yeah, I think everyone's pretty optimistic. There's those sort of shared projects going on. There's you know, a lot of people realize it's going to be hard, but are kind of excited about coming out the other end of it and getting back to work. And I think after the initial shock, everyone sort of got back to work and are doing their best. It was a couple of days of scariness, but yeah, no, everyone's been really good. Customers have been great too. Like, we've got so many customers who are, you know, not your typical customer for a business. Like, our customers are raving fans, and you know, they're messaging us all the time. They're on these live Zoom calls we're doing. The Facebook group's going off. The social media's going off. You know, the people are sharing our posts and telling people to support us, and you know, signing up for this supply drop thing. Even when they, you know, they could probably come down themselves to pick up the beer, but they're just really getting behind everything we do. The local press has been really good too. That we've talked to Channel 9 and Gold Coast Bulletin, and they're kind of getting behind smaller businesses who are making changes and doing their best, and all that stuff's super positive.
It's just going back to that point on the community and that mix pack you mentioned. I was talking to another friend in the industry from a pretty popular beer town, and I was saying, like, for me, sometimes in these areas where you've got these hot pockets of half a dozen breweries in that one area, that maybe the strength in numbers, you know, maybe they're greater than the sum of their individual parts when they all work together. And maybe out of this, you know, they talk about in times of crisis, innovation arrives, and maybe you might get those regions all working together. And I don't know, who knows, starting up a distribution company where, you know, four or five different breweries all work together and sell mixed cartons, mixed six packs or whatever for the greater good of the area to try and help survive. Do you think that's feasible?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a lot of innovation happening. You know, companies have been releasing new ideas in a matter of days and weeks, where before, like, so it's like some of these ideas that we're working on, I've been sitting on for 2 years. Like we could have done this stuff before, but other things take priority. But then when you're kind of thrust into this position, you come up with lots of ideas and you execute them really quickly. Everyone's working really hard, and the outcome is a lot of innovation, and hopefully some of that will stick around. Like, once everything goes back to normal, behaviors will change back a little bit, but when we do that, we might have a whole different sort of style of industry too, and we might, you know, a lot of this innovation might stick around, and it might be good for breweries in a way that, like, a lot of what we're doing is increasing the amount of direct selling we're doing to customers and direct interfacing with customers, which is always smart. Good for a business. Like our business predominantly is selling beer wholesale to other people who have customers that like the beer. And, you know, it's very difficult and expensive to sell direct to customers, but it's always a good thing for a business to sell direct to the customers. And maybe at the end of this, we'll have a craft beer industry that is doing a lot more of selling direct to customers, and that will be a positive.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. What other sort of stuff are you feeling optimistic about in the future?
Well, I mean, I think, like, for us and hopefully other people in this space, we were looking at investing in the business anyway, and doing that was going to be really tough. Like, the only way we've been able to get money really is get investors, which we've basically maxed out. We can't get any more. Get money from the bank, which has always been really challenging. Our bank, NAB, have been great, but it's always very hard for new businesses to get loans through banks. I think lots of breweries can't get loans through banks. And equity crowdfunding, and they're basically the three main ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a chance throughout all of this that for the breweries that are financially okay, if they can make some cuts back and they can stay trading on package sales and some direct to customer sales, that they might be able to use some of this stimulus that's coming out to actually build their business when they otherwise might not have been able to. And that, maybe that's being a little bit optimistic, but there's definitely a chance of that. Like, if we can get through the next 6 months without losing too much money, which is a big if, we might be able to execute on those plans without compromising too much. Like, the Queensland government loan is really generous. It's a 10-year loan. with no repayments for 6 months. It's a really low interest rate. If we qualify for this JobKeeper payment, which reading into it right now, it looks like we probably won't, but let's say we do, and there will be breweries who do, who've been a bit more static in their revenue over the years. That might be an opportunity to you know, not stress out about the cost of paying staff for a while and put that energy towards something else. It's hard to say, but I'm envisaging that there's a very good chance that we come out at the end of this year and we would have been able to progress on a lot of these projects without compromising as much as we would have had to anyway. So if that happens, then we might find ourselves in an industry where there's been a lot of investment put into these businesses. And if the businesses survive, which is a big if, but if they do, then we might be able to push the industry forward a little bit without the big compromises that we had to make before.
So, mate, we've been talking about your online stuff and lots of things. So where can people go to find your beers online if they so desired?
Yeah, just the Black Ops website or social media. But if anyone's listening who wants a hand with this kind of stuff, then and I can help. I mean, I may not be able to help with some of the techie app stuff, but I might be able to pass you on to someone who can. If it's a WordPress question, I can definitely help. You can just text me on 0434-152-966, and I'm more than happy to help anyone if they're looking for some kind of advice on this stuff, if it's doing their head in.
Well, that's gutsy. You're putting out your personal number onto the interwebs, mate.
Oh, what do you think?
There are millions of listeners to this thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, if anyone's listening to this and they've got any really good Tiger King memes, then text them through to me as well. That's what's getting me through.
Do you know what? Last night I saw your message about Tiger King on Instagram, and I've watched the first two episodes just purely based on that. So
you're very welcome.
Everybody's talking about Tiger King. We've got to watch it. So we're two in. I can't wait to finish it. It'll be awesome. So, all right, mate. Look, I wish you the best during these tough times. I'm looking forward. If you're increasing the capacity of your beers into cans, hopefully we might see a few more of them down here in Tassie, because fucking hell, they're hard to find down here. But I'm still looking for Kelly Hayes. I think I might have missed it. But anyway.
We're still doing the monthly limiteds, and we're still sending them down to Polkadot, I'm pretty sure. It's really tricky at the moment. They keep changing the rules every day, so we're never even sure whether we can send some of these beers down there, but we can send them directly on the website anyway, and we're selling them on the website. Just keep up the content too, because I'm sort of looking on my phone all the time looking for some good entertaining stuff throughout this, and the interviews you do are always really positive and interesting. And
thanks, mate.
I really appreciate it. And, yeah, keep it up, because I always enjoy listening to them. I'm sure other people do too.
Cheers. Well, other than looking after my kids at lunchtime at the moment, I've got lunch hours free. So it only takes us half an hour, as you can see here today. So if anybody does want to jump on and have a chat, tell a story or whatever, I am free. You know how to get hold of me over at Facebook page for Beer Healer. I'm not going to give out my mobile phone number. No way. But, the real Dan Norris, thanks for joining me today, mate. Cheers.
No worries. Cheers, mate.
Thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have an interesting beer story and want to be a guest on the Beer Healer interviews, send me a message via my Facebook page. And once again, if you want to help out the show, a simple rate and review on Apple Podcasts or a follow, like, or share on any other podcast service will do the trick. I'll catch you soon.